a second. I am excited that you're here tonight. And we are excited to have with us all the way from Columbia, Missouri, Pastor Josh Palmer. Pastor Josh Palmer has become a dear friend to Pastor Angie and I over the last 4 to 5 years. We met through wives. Our women introduced all of us together. So the reality is, though, Pastor Josh, the strength besides him being a man of God is he's got a wonderful wife, Miss Jennifer Palmer. And Pastor Jennifer, we're sorry you're not with us tonight. I know you're watching and you're holding down the fort. Four kids. She's wrangling all those yahoos there in Columbia, Missouri. But we are excited. Pastor Josh was born in Indianapolis. He is a Colts fan and he's wearing his team colors tonight. But I'm telling you right now, this man of God is going to preach. He's going to rain it down. He is an incredible voice. And we are honored and thrilled that he's with us tonight. I can't wait for you to hear from my friend and a great leader, a voice that our country needs at a time like this, all the way from Columbia, Missouri, Destiny Point Church. Family, stand on your feet now. 1910, stand up and let's welcome Pastor Josh Palmer.
Amen. Remain standing tonight. It's a joy and an honor to be here with you tonight. And I appreciate that applause. But man, can we give it up for your pastors tonight and let them know how much we love them? Oh, come on. You could do a whole lot better than that. You got some incredible pastors here. Amen. We love you dearly. It's an honor to be here. I never take it for granted, never take it lightly to stand behind God's great podium to preach the word. Thank you for opening up your doors, your pulpit, so I can persecute the saints tonight for a few moments. No, it's a great honor to be here. I love you. Pastor Jen, my wife, she sends love to you as well. And all of our pastor friends on the front row. Man, that's the dream team over there. Appreciate you so much. And man, are you ready to get right into the word tonight? Amen. As you remain standing, I want you to turn with me to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. And as you're turning there in your Bible, or if you have it on your phone or iPad, they may have it on the screen here for us as well. John chapter 5. The Bible says that after this, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent sick folk. They were blind, withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he would stir the water. Whosoever would get into the troubling of the water, whoever was stepped in was made whole of whatever disease that they had. Verse 5. There was a certain man who had been there who had an infirmity for 38 years. How many know that's a long time? When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been in this case for a long time. Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another man steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. Amen. Incredible story there. Amen. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to just share this with you. 38 years, this man sat there with an infirmity. 38 years, this man is stuck. This man is sick. This man is immobile. This man is in a cycle of marching around the same mountain year after year, Jesus shows up in his life and Jesus has the audacity to ask him, knowing that he's been laying there for 38 years. Jesus has the audacity to ask him, do you want to be made whole? I believe with all my heart, Pastor, that Jesus is going deeper with this question, making sure that this man really wants this. Asking him, do you really want this? Because Jesus in this moment, I believe that he wasn't interested in a surface touch. I believe that Jesus had an expectation for transformation. In other words, if I touch you, you can't stay here and be the same, hanging out with the same people, with the same mindset and the same life. Do you really want this? In my Christian walk and pastoral experience, I've been serving the Lord a long time. I'm 43 years old and I've been raised in the ways of the Lord. I've been around a lot of church people. I have found that some folk really don't want this. Come on, somebody. Some people, they just want portions of what he has to offer. Portions that are convenient. I have found that some people, they just want some relief and not repentance. They want to pacify conviction without truly converting. They want a little touch with no expectation of transformation or changing. Listen, can we go a little bit deeper and talk about leadership? Some people want the position and the attention, but they don't want the price and the sacrifice. They want the platform, but not the threshing floor. They want the anointing, but not the crushing. They want the benefit, but not the commitment. Listen, a lot of people want the mantle, but they don't want to serve the man to get the mantle. You can't bypass the man with the mantle to receive the mantle. Last time I read and spelled the word mantle, I saw the word man in it, M-A-N. You got to serve somebody to get the mantle. Amen. Lord, help my voice. I've been under the weather this week, but I feel good tonight. I want to ask you tonight for a few moments, do you really want this? Do you really want this? Revival, do you really want it? Outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life like never before. Do you really want it? Do you want to see your church filled with sinners that are going to get saved and delivered and get some help? Do you really want it? Do you really want it? Let's pray. Father, we ask you for the next few moments that you would speak a word to our hearts. Wisdom hit our spirit, Lord. Revelation hit our spirit. Lord, awaken us, stir us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody saying amen. Before you're seated, high five five people and tell them, ask them this. Do you really want this? Amen, amen. I think you're high-fiving more than five people. I'm teasing. I want to lay some groundwork here. My heart is full, and I believe that I have some things to share with you from the Lord. And I want you to understand that I believe with all of my heart that I have a place to share some of these things, being raised in church all of my life and understanding that I have such a heart to win the lost, to make disciples, but I feel on my heart an assignment to even awaken the church and stir the church to a whole nother level. I believe that this word is going to bless us. I believe this word is going to also even challenge us a little bit. Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, put your seatbelt on for the next few moments here tonight. Let me lay a little groundwork. The pursuit, the goal, and the fruit of a Christian life. The pursuit, the goal, the fruit of the Christian walk should be one of transformation. Transformation is proof and evidence of a renewed life in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." God is a God of transformation. He wants us to be transformed from darkness to light, from sin to sanctification, from the gutter to a heavenly seat in Christ Jesus. He's a God of transformation. He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." When God delivers us out of a place of sin and struggle, He has an expectation for transformation in our life. God did not save us or come by our way and touch our life so that we can remain the same after He touches us. Amen. Transformation is a changing, it's a turning, it's new living, it's new thinking, it's conversion, it's reformation. The fruit of conversion is transformation. The product of a surrendered life is change. The results of a spirit-led life will be one of sanctification, cross-bearing, holiness. That's a word we don't like to hear very often. Come on. "Coming out from amongst them and being ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." The outcome of a converted and surrendered life to Jesus will be a life that looks like Jesus, will be a life that talks like Jesus and walks like Jesus and acts like Jesus and reflects Jesus and represents Jesus. There are a lot of people that say that they belong to Jesus in our nation, but a whole lot of people don't walk like it, talk like it, look like it, seem like it. He said, "Be ye transformed," once He comes by our life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's preaching to you tonight." When Jesus encountered people, I apologize my voice tonight. I worked on it all week long for this moment. When Jesus encountered people in the Gospels and Jesus was fully embraced, did you hear that? When Jesus was fully embraced, you would see transformation. Zacchaeus had a moment with Jesus that transformed his heart. And he said, "If I've wronged anybody, I'm going to make sure that I pay them back and even more so." Mary Magdalene, the spirit of the enemy and devils were cast out of her, and her life was forever changed. She sat at His feet and worshiped Him. There's a man by the name of Legion who was bound by many devils, but when Jesus came and touched his life, later you find that Legion, the Bible says he was in his right mind, he was clothed, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because when Jesus is fully embraced, there will be transformation in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? Conversion produces the fruit of repentance. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." One translation breaks it down like this with my paraphrase. It says, "Prove by your lifestyle that you have repented of your sins and you have turned to God." Come on, somebody. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 15, "You shall know them by their fruit." People say a whole lot of stuff, come on, but fruit proves whether or not that they are truly been converted and transformed by Jesus. The fruit worthy of repentance, or the proof through lifestyle, is the evidence of conversion. Fruit is the sign, the indicator, and the evidence of transformation. Pardon my grammar a little bit, but if there ain't no fruit, then there must not be any root. And if there's no root, there will be no fruit. We're going somewhere. You're hanging with me a little bit? Jesus encounters a fig tree in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus comes across this fig tree. Jesus is hungry. Jesus sees this tree. Jesus approaches this tree. Jesus reaches and he looks beyond the leaves of this tree, searching, inspecting, and expecting fruit. Am I helping anybody? He looks beyond the leaves, inspecting, expecting fruit. He finds no fruit. He curses the tree. The tree withers up, dries up, and dies. Jesus cursed this tree for looking one way, but being a totally different way. He cursed this tree because it looked the part, but it was actually fruitless. It had a form of godliness, but denied the power therein. Come on. At first glance and from a distance, the tree looks healthy. The tree looks good. The tree looks right. The tree has the form, but closer inspection, there is no fruit. There must not have been no root, and there was no life. Listen, I'm concerned that we live in a day where everybody says that they are a Christian and everybody says that they belong to a church, but it's so hard to find some folk that really have the fruit of repentance in their life. Listen, there's a whole lot of people that say some stuff, but they don't really act like they say. Come on, somebody. We know how to look right. We know how to look good from a distance. At first glance, people may think one way about certain people. We know how to go to church and say amen in the right places. We know how to carry our Bible just right. We know how to shout and dance at the right places. But listen, if we're not careful and we haven't really been transformed by the Lord, we can look like it from a glance, but the Lord knows if we really have fruit to produce some fruit in our life. Amen. Give the Lord some praise tonight. You've already found out I'm like an old school preacher. I want to ask somebody tonight, do you really want this? Do you really want revival? Do you really want outpouring? Do you really want transformation in your heart and in your life and in your family at a whole nother level? Because God doesn't just take glances. And God doesn't just watch us from a distance. He said that man looks upon the outward appearance, but he said, I look at the heart. God said, I'm not concerned and I'm not impressed with your appearance and your style, how many followers you have, come on, how well that you perform. God is more interested in, are you bearing fruit of repentance? Are you bearing fruit of righteousness? And are we bearing fruit of the Spirit? One thing I love about God is that God loved us right where he found us. I don't know about you, but we testify about the time that we found God. But the truth of the matter is, we didn't find God. It was he who found us. It was he who came by our way. Listen, and I love that God loves us right where he finds us. He will pick us up out of the gutter, out of our sin, out of our mess, out of our dysfunction. But watch this. He loves me too much to keep me the way that he found me. Come on, somebody. He will work on us. He will sanctify us. He will deal with us. He will bring conviction to us because he wants to transform our hearts. God loves you so much that he won't lord you from a distance. God is a nosy God. Anybody sitting by anyone that's a little nosy? he's a nosy God. God, He doesn't lord us from a distance. He's concerned about every area of our life. He cares about every detail in our life. God will get right up in the middle of your business. In every area, in every aspect. He wants to check to see if our fruit matches our confession. Amen? He wants to see if there is proof of what we appear to be. Do we have the fruit, or do we cover up the fact with our leaves that we have no fruit of repentance, righteousness, and spirit? Come on, somebody. I told you I was going to step on your toes a little bit. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jesus. He told me to preach it. See, I believe I'm a little concerned about church in America. We live in a day, and this is going to sound negative, but I love the church. My heart is burdened. We live in a day where our churches are bigger, our crowds are bigger, we have more mega churches than ever before. We know how to quickly break record crowds, and I'm not against big church. I'm not against big crowds. I'm not against mega church. I'm not against all those things. The more people, the merrier. Amen. We're reaching people. But I'm also concerned at the same time that we know how to put on the presentation and the show and the entertainment just right. We know how to work on our look and look on our work on our style, and we know how to appeal to the consumer. But I'm concerned that we see little transformation and little repentance in the church of America today. Amen. People often kind of ask this question without asking it. How close to the world can I be and still be saved? Come on. When you get transformed, converted by the Lord, you have in your heart, how far from the world can I run from the line of the world and run into the arms of Jesus? I don't want to be close to the world. I want to be close to his heart and his kingdom. Come on, somebody. When I got saved a long time ago, I really gave my heart to Jesus with everything when I was 15. Listen, there was a conversion that came. There was a transformation that came. No, I wasn't perfect, and I'm still not today, but listen, there was something that got on the inside of me that I wanted to please the Lord, and if there is anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit, I would want to stay away from it. If there is anything that pleased God, I wanted to run after it. Listen, we got to take it up a level, even from salvation. Let me talk to you about leadership for a moment. There's a whole lot of people in the body of Christ today, they want a title. Everybody in the world is a bishop. Everybody in the church is an apostle. Everybody is a prophetess. Everybody is a doctor. Everybody wants to be a leader and a director. We are so title hungry in the church. We are so self-promoting. But I want to ask you, is there fruit that matches your title? Listen, I come to tell you, instead of pursuing titles, we should be pursuing towels and serving one another and serving our community. Give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. Thank you, Pastor AJ. That's my youth pastor. He come to help me tonight. If we're not careful, we will produce a customized Jesus. Man, I feel good tonight. I'm having fun. I don't know if you'll ever have me back, but I'm going to give it all to you tonight. If we're not careful, we, I believe, can produce a customized Jesus. To customize a thing means to accommodate and suit the individual. We live in a day in church culture, if we're not careful, that we can produce a customized Jesus, but you can't customize Jesus. Amen? We cannot modify him to fit us. Last I checked, it was us serving him and him not serving us. Come on. We can't modify him. We can't build him according to us. We cannot personalize our own Christianity and walk and how we want to do it. You don't get to set the convictions. You can't tailor your tithe and tailor your title and tailor your talent. Come on, somebody. You can't customize your commitment. You and I, we are not the CEO making executive decisions. I can't modify my membership. I'm either they're sold out or I'm still for sale. We live in a day where people, it's going to get more encouraging here in a minute. So let's go through here. We live in a day where people have customized a Jesus that's not the real Jesus. And people are following themselves and worshiping themselves and calling it their Jesus. We even have preachers that will customize Jesus that may fit the crowd to appease them so that they can do it however they want to. Now listen, if we're not careful, we will customize Jesus and we will create a benefit package Jesus. Because you know why? We like options, don't we? We like choices. We like perks. We like to personalize some stuff. We go to the Mexican restaurant and we go down the you know, I don't know what you guys have, like Qdoba or whatever. We like to personalize our burrito and give me some of this and don't put that on there. We like to customize some things. And people, even in the church, listen, they have created a benefit package Jesus where they're like this. Let me customize my benefit package Jesus, okay? So I want a little bit of blessing in my benefit package Jesus. I want some increase. Yeah, go ahead and put some breakthrough in there. Oh, I like the press down, shaking together and running over. So go ahead and put that in my benefit package Jesus. Oh, I need some grace and some peace. Oh, go ahead and throw some judge not in there, because I don't want anybody judging me in my benefit package Jesus. Oh, go ahead and throw some favor ain't fair in my benefit package Jesus. And we create this, and then we go on to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and bypass, you know, the parts of fasting and praying and crucifying the flesh and sacrifice and obedience. Come on, somebody. I don't really want that in my benefit package. Being loyal to my pastor and serving and obeying and lining up and sowing and being sanctified. Oh, I don't want that in my benefit package Jesus. Listen, we are in a day where the American church, they got a benefit package Jesus. They got a spare tire Jesus. They got a band-aid Jesus. They got a I'll holler at you Jesus when I need you. But listen, Jesus is looking for some people that will truly convert and repent and be transformed and say, whatever you want me to do, Jesus, I will do it. I'll be it, and I will go where you want me to go. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. I'm preaching my voice out to you tonight, because he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Amen. So we create customized Jesus, benefit package Jesus. We have, I got like 45 of these. No, not really. You got nervous. We got processed Jesus. You know, process is an element that's in food, right? Process is the element, watch this. Process in food is the element that is added to food to give it longer shelf life for the purpose of partaking of it at our convenience. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. Did you know that they have traced, I'm sure you know this, that there are a lot of process elements that are linked to a lot of cause of sickness and disease. Come on. We have churches, not this church, but we have churches and preachers that feed a process Jesus to the body of Christ. We say, choose what's convenient to you. Ooh, I feel it tonight. Choose the level of commitment that is best for you. Come and go as it's convenient to you. There is no judgment. There's no accountability. Follow your own truth. For the sake of convenience, many in the body of Christ have become sick and very weak. Are you hearing me tonight? But I truly believe that God is raising up a people in this day, in this hour, that is hungry for the real Jesus, that's hungry for the raw Jesus, that's hungry for the organic Jesus. Come on, somebody. Because when you taste of the real thing and when you partake of the organic Jesus, nothing in this world will satisfy. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Anybody ever tasted of the goodness of the Lord? Can you just wave at me for a minute? So now to our text. That was all just for free. That was just on my chest today. I had to get that to you. John chapter 5. I won't be long, I promise. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? This man, 38 years in a situation, in a cycle. This man lay so close to his breakthrough, but yet he was so far away. No doubt he was frustrated. He spent 38 years trying to get into the pool of Bethesda. He said to Jesus, no man will put me in, or when a man tries to help me, somebody, he had his focus on somebody else. 38 years, he tried to get into the pool of Bethesda, or did he really try? Because I don't know about you, but after 38 years, I think I would just be hanging out in the pool. My skin all wrinkled up. I'm not leaving here without my miracle. Come on, somebody. So did he really want this? 38 years in the same place, 38 years in the same condition, 38 years in the same cycle, 38 years in the same system. Jesus has the audacity to ask him, do you want to be made whole? Jesus knows this man's need, situation, dilemma, struggle. But again, I believe that Jesus is going deeper because he's asking him, do you really, really want this? You know why I believe that Jesus asked him this? Because I have found out that some people, they love their drama. Some people love their sickness. Because if God healed them, then they might have to go get a job. Oh, I'm preaching truth. So I just want a portion of the touch, so I can stay in the system. Come on. Come on, somebody. Some people like their pain and their past and their hurt because what would they talk about? Come on, somebody. Who would they blame? What excuse would they have if they allowed Jesus to get way down on the inside of their soul and heal all those wounds that other people created in their life? Do you really want this? Or do we just want portions of what he has to offer? Jesus comes by, do you really want this? Do you want to be made whole? Because man, at the pool of Bethesda, if I touch you, if I heal you, if I make you whole, watch this. No more living like this. No more living in this place. And no more hanging out with all these people. Transformation. Expectation for transformation. If you really want this, you can't dwell in this environment anymore. You got to leave some places. Did you know that it is possible for you to come out of Egypt, but Egypt still be in you? That's why God took them through the wilderness. They came out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of them. Because if you really want this, you can't dwell in the same environments. Number two, you can't hang out with the same people. I believe that oftentimes we are giving life to relationships that God is trying to kill off. Because there's only two types of people in our circle. Those that are pushing us closer to our God purpose are those who are hindering us from our God purpose. It's really only two types of people. If you really want this, you can't dwell here. You can't think like this anymore. You can't live like this anymore. You can't hang out with these people anymore. You got to break this cycle. You got to break this system. You got to get up. You got to keep moving. Do you really want this? I'm closing, I promise, in just a moment. I want to say this, that when we make up our mind that we want everything that God has for us, one thing that we've got to do, Pastor Jason, is we've got to refuse Egypt. We got to refuse Egypt. Egypt represent the world, bondage, sin. Hebrews 11:24, the Bible says that by faith, Moses, when he has come to age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than have the riches of the Egyptians. If you really want this, you got to come to a place where you refuse Egypt. Amen? Number two, you've got to crush all the idols that are in your life. Anything that stands between you and God that has become a priority over God. In 2 Kings chapter 22, the Bible says that Josiah and the people, they found the book of the law. They didn't know the book of the law. Josiah becomes king and he grows up and the priests, they find the book of the law and they open it up and they begin to read all of the law and all these things, and they realize that they haven't been doing things right in the land. Josiah said, here's what we got to do. We got idols that we are worshiping. And the book of God says that we can't have any idols. We didn't even know this. What are we doing? And you know what he did? He made a decree to go out through all of the land and begin to crush all of the idols. If you really want Jesus, if you really want transformation, if you really want revival in your city, we've got to refuse Egypt. We got to crush all the idols in our own life so that we can bring down the idols and every demonic force that thinks that it's running this city. I come to serve notice on the devil over this town. This town does not belong to the devil. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we are here to take over with the kingdom of God. You can stand on your feet tonight. You can stand on your feet. Will you play something a little soft for me? The band can come as well. My last point I want to share with you tonight is this. If you really want this, you will have to let Benjamin go. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, let Benjamin go. And I'm not talking about your $1,000 bill. You got to let Benjamin go. You know the story of Joseph, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, lied upon, thrown into prison. All those years, broken, abandoned, lied about, hurt by his own brothers. He had a dream. God showed him that he was going to be great. And the dream led him to the pit in the prison. Hey man, have you ever felt that God gave you a dream and you ended up in a pit? And you're thinking, Lord, what? That's not what you showed me. Hey man, it's part of the process. Joseph goes through a terrible situation. And you know the story later when there's a famine in the land and his brothers come into Egypt. At this point, Joseph is like second in command in all of Egypt. He has a place of authority and power. God elevated his life. And all of a sudden, his brothers walk through the door. I mean, imagine what he's thinking. His heart probably was in his throat. They didn't recognize Joseph because of his garments and the Egyptian outfit that he had. And they begin to ask Joseph for some help because of the famine and all these things. And long story short, Joseph finds out and realizes that he has a younger brother by the name of Benjamin. Joseph tells his brothers without them recognizing him. He says, I want you to go back to your father's house and tell your father, Jacob, to let Benjamin go and let him come to me because I want to meet him. The brothers leave and they go back to their father, and you know they know, like, there's no way. Because Jacob, when he hears the news, we came across a Pharaoh or an Egyptian leader, and he wants to meet the younger brother. You got to understand that Jacob is like, oh, no, we're not doing this. Because in Jacob's mind and his heart, he thinks Joseph is dead. And he's like, I've already lost one son. And my precious wife that I love, she died giving birth to this last son, Benjamin. I cannot let him go. No doubt he's wrestling, but he eventually makes a decision to let Benjamin go. When Benjamin shows up to Joseph and they come back with him, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers of who he really is. And you know the story and how powerful of a moment that is? Jacob, watch this, here's the point. It would have been so difficult, such a challenge for Jacob to let Benjamin go. But because he let him go, he not only got Benjamin back, but he also got Joseph restored unto him. The question tonight is, do you really want this? Do you really want what God has in store for you? You might have to let Benjamin go. Do you want revival as a church? It's not going to be convenient to your flesh, because revival is messy. Harvest is the hardest time of the year for a farmer. See, in church, we're like, oh, harvest. Oh, hallelujah. I get my shout on, get my harvest. But in reality, harvest is a whole lot of work. Do you really want this? Do you have a heart? And I know you do. I know your pastors do. Do you have a heart to see the floodgates of heaven open up over this town, over this region. To see the addicts get saved. To see the single moms that are hurting and broken find hope and peace. To find those who are in the gutter, in a drunken binge, find freedom and help. To see marriages restored. Suicidal thoughts, depression, leave people's minds and hearts. Do we want to really see revival? The Bible says, man, this isn't in my notes, but the Bible says that when Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. It's not easy. Sometimes you got to let Benjamin go. Sometimes you got to ask the question, do I really want this? Do I want to stay here? Same situation, same type of people, mindsets, or do I want to get up and walk to a whole nother place? I want you to lift your hands to heaven across this room. Come on, lift your hands to heaven for a moment. I believe with all my heart that God is asking us the question, do you really want this? You guys can begin.